the primary determining factor of wealth in the coming years is going to be access to AI. When you have access to AI, that is, if you can afford to pay for the tokens, or if you can afford to pay for an AI robot, your life is going to be substantially better. And wealth will largely be achieved by those who have access and who know how to, well, how to talk to the machines in order to assign tasks and get what they want. Now, this has become apparent to myself and a lot of other people who are involved in the cutting edge of AI technology. For example, right now I'm building a couple of different apps using AI tech, and some of these tools have just recently become available, by the way, where I can define a project, I can spawn a number of sub-agents, and those sub-agents carry out that task, even spanning many, many hours of writing code, testing, fixing, working to achieve the results, etc. So I can give them that task, I can walk away from my desk, or I can work on something else for hours, and then I come back, and then the task is complete. And I may have spent, I don't know, like $30 or something, let's just say. That's going to get cheaper over time, but I may have spent, or let's say $20, just depends on the task. How many hours, how many tokens, etc. You're paying for tokens. And very often, in spending $20 or $30 or $50 or even $100, the AI agents will produce the code or produce a segment of the app that would have taken a human coder at least $10,000 in many weeks to try to achieve. So for, let's say, $100 or less, I'm replacing $10,000 of human coding time, and I'm doing in a few hours what would normally take a few weeks. This is such a multiplier of your intention that this is going to define the wealthy versus those who are kind of left behind without understanding how to use AI to their advantage. There's going to be an increasing chasm. In other words, the middle class will vanish. We'll have a lot more wealthy people than we have today, but we'll also have a lot more poor people than we have today. And again, access to AI technology will be the defining factor between wealthy and poor. That much has become clear to me. And this is even more true when it comes to physical robots. So if you think about a robot, there's an initial upfront investment, which could be substantial. It could be $100,000 for a particular robot, like a Made in America robot, maybe the Tesla bot. And with all the software that you want on it and all the CPU upgrades and battery upgrades and everything, it's probably like a $100,000 robot. But then you have this $100,000 robot, what can it do for you? It can replace several people. And when combined with AI sub-agent task management, it can do the work of at least three humans, maybe more. And it's not going to quit on you. It doesn't have an attitude problem. It's not going to file a lawsuit against you. You know, it's going to be a far more reliable worker than a typical human. So as robots become available for warehouse work or fulfillment center work, et cetera, you're going to see an incredible shift in the economics of conducting a business. And I'm even an advocate of offline open source robots for living off grid, that is helping you live out in the country. There are 1,000 tasks that a humanoid robot could help you do. Sort of tedious tasks. When you live out in the country, you have to do a lot more just to live. You know, you got to deal with the grass or the weeds, or maybe you have to do some more of your own plumbing, or you have a water well, you have a septic system. Maybe you have animals. You've got, like I do, chickens. You got to collect chicken eggs, and you got to feed the chickens, etc. You have to deal with stuff, and you might have farm equipment. Then you have a tractor. And then you got to deal with the tractor. You got to change the oil. You got to do all these things. Robots will be able to take on some significant portion of those tasks, including planting food, harvesting food, watering plants, folding laundry, doing dishes, you name it, even cooking your meals. robots will be able to do this, which will free you up to do the things you would much rather do, which could be, you know, maybe you want to be an entrepreneur. Maybe you want to pursue a business. Maybe you want to be a sculptor. Maybe you have a painting you want to work on. You want to write a novel, right? So you can engage in higher forms of human expression and creativity and innovation while your robot is carrying out the more menial tasks. Whereas a relatively poor person, you know, low finance person, is unable to afford the robot and thus has to carry out those menial tasks themselves. So this shift is going to be really dramatic across society. But it's worth noting that being successful with agentic AI on the software side or physical robot AI requires you to learn how to talk to the machines. You need to learn how to give them tasks, how to create prompts, how to even know in advance what you are looking for. You have to, in your own mind, have a very, very clear picture of what you want. And then you have to be able to describe that clearly. And my background, actually, where I got started out of college, was in writing software documentation manuals. Seriously, that was my first gig out of college. I've always been a very strong writer, and I was always strong in software and technology, so I naturally fell into this kind of job role. And I was living in Taiwan, and I was working for a very famous antivirus software company. And I was writing all their software documentation manuals and also marketing copy, you know, whatever they needed that was written, I was the guy that was writing it. And when you have a lot of practice at writing documentation, you become good at explaining things in clear, easy to understand steps. But this is not a natural thing. This is a skill that has to be developed. When you ask most people to describe what they want, like let's say you have an idea for an app, and if I ask you, describe the app, how does it work? Literally, most people cannot really talk through that. Most people will jump around in a non-linear fashion, and they'll do a very poor job of describing the app. It turns out that most people are very unskilled at prompting AI. They're not good at writing prompts. They're not good at in their own head of thinking clearly of what they want to accomplish or how you might be able to get there. And when you're working with machines, especially with agentic AI, you have to give it the process of how you want to achieve what you want. So it's not only that, hey, I want this app to exist and I want it to look like this and I want it to function in this way. It's much more powerful if you can tell it how to get there. I want you to spawn this database and the database has the following fields. And I want you to use this API and this API has the following parameters. And here's the site where you can find the documentation for the API, etc. And then I want you to do a quality check on this. Like if you can give it the process, then the AI is going to work so much better. Then the agents don't have to read your mind and try to fill in the gaps of what you want. Same thing is going to be true with physical robots that you have helping around the house. If you just tell a robot, like, do the laundry, you know, is that a good prompt? Not really. You come home and you find that the robot found a bunch of your old coats hanging in the closet and it started washing those. And you're like, what are you doing? And the robot's like, you said do the laundry. And you're like, well, I didn't mean that laundry, you know. And well, robot's like, well, I can't read your mind, stupid human. You know, how am I supposed to read your mind? You got to tell me what laundry you want washed, right? What you meant in your mind when you said the laundry, you meant the laundry in the laundry basket, you know, in the laundry room or wherever you keep your laundry basket, if you have a basket, or maybe just have a pile of stinky clothes. I don't know. But you got to tell the robot what to do, like wash the clothes that are over there. You're pointing, you know, and the robot looks and's like, oh yes, that pile of stinky clothes. I will wash that pile. And then you need to be even more detailed. After you wash it, dry it, put it in the dryer, you know, run the dryer on the following cycle. And then Be sure to clean out the lint filter in the dryer before you run it. And then after it's dried, take it out of the dryer and then fold the clothes. And we want you to fold them in the following way. Let me show you. And then you show the robot, and the robot would be like, uh-huh, okay, I got it. You fold laundry like a sissy or whatever. People fold laundry in all kinds of interesting different ways. But you got to show the robot what you want. They're going to learn from a lot of visual behavior modeling, by the way. That's how it's going to work. So when you buy a robot and you have it in your home, it'll know how to do certain things automatically. Like, can I help you carry the groceries out of your car and put them away in the refrigerator? And you're like, yeah, go ahead. And then you find that it puts everything in the wrong place. Like it put the bottle of ketchup on the wrong shelf, you know, and it put the avocados in the wrong place. So you got to show it what to do. And this is all about being able to talk to machines. You can talk to them by demonstrating things, or you can talk to them with good prompting or with clear instructions, etc. Again, this is a skill set. And the better you get at this skill set, which currently is called prompt engineering, the easier your life is going to be as agentic AI and AI robots are rolled out across the world, which is happening very rapidly. Like I said, I'm working with software agents every day now. I actually can't imagine going back to life without the AI agents. I mean, just doing research. I have AI agents that conduct research for me. They search the web. They find documentation. They find all kinds of things. They bring me back information. They write executive summary reports on the things I'm looking for. It might be I'm trying to investigate, let's say, a new high-end solid-state storage system that uses M2 sticks for storage, and I want to have 10 gig network ports, and I want to make sure that it's got, you know, the following minimum specifications, etc. So I give those specs to the agent, and I say, go out and find something that does this. And just search the web, search all the, I might give it a starting point on the search. I'm like, here's the criteria. You go out and find stuff. And it brings me back a list of all the different sites that do that. Like, here's an example. Recently, I was looking for an online service that does the automatic language translation and lip syncing video rendering so that I can give it my video and I can say, hey, you know, produce a Spanish version of me talking in Spanish with my lips moving in Spanish. Okay. That's called the lip sync auto translation. So I asked my AI agent, I said, here's what I want. I want lip sync translation, high quality. I want to know the cost per minute. I want you to go out and find all the services that offer this. And I want you to find the user comments and ratings and give me an overall assessment of the quality of that service. And bring back an executive report that lists all the services you found and the cost per minute for the translation, and also which languages they support. Go. So I said go, and then I walked off and I did something else. You know, worked on some other project. I come back, not even 10 minutes later, it's got the report. It's done all the research. Now, that saved me, or it saved my staff, you know, a couple hours or an afternoon of research time. That's a big deal. So AI, when you know how to use it, it will multiply your brain. That's why sometimes we call it augmented intelligence, not artificial intelligence. It augments your brain. You're the one that has the idea. You have the intention, like, oh, I want to find a service that does this, or I want to find a product that achieves this. And then the AI goes out and solves that problem for you, saves you all that time so you can work on something else. And right now on my desktop, I have three different AI agents that are open and not running all the time, but running from time to time, three different services that do different things. One is a software development agent, one is a research agent, and one is an offline coding agent. Well, not offline, I mean, it's modifying local code, local Python code. So I'm running three agents right now. And by the time robots come out, I will be an expert on talking to the robots. So I'll be able to get the robots to do what I want because I know how to talk to robots because I've been talking to these agents for all these years. And I encourage you to get up to speed on this. That's my point. get up to speed on this, find out how agents can help you achieve what you want. And there are all kinds of ways to do this. You can come up with some tasks or some little sample things that you want done. Like, hey, take this photo of my scribbles on this napkin and turn it into a spreadsheet, you know, like an Excel spreadsheet. That's a task for an AI agent. And so, you know, you can go out and search. You can find some AI agent companies or services that specialize in image recognition. And there are agents that will do exactly what I just said right there. They'll take images of handwritten notes and turn them into spreadsheets or documents or whatever. It's way beyond OCR. I mean, it's like structural organizing of your scribbles, which is really quite a feat given some people's handwriting. But still, there is no AI agent in the world that can make any sense of a doctor's signature. That would require superintelligence, like quantum computing, to decode a physician's signature. That has not happened yet, not in this universe. All right, anyway, you get the idea. So don't be afraid of AI technology. It's not a demon. It's not going to possess your brain. As long as you are in control, you're the one doing the prompting. You're the one that's got the project in mind. You're the one controlling the system, telling it what to do and correcting it if it gets off base, okay? So yeah, don't let AI infect your brain. Don't use AI to have a virtual boyfriend or girlfriend, which is what a lot of young people do, and then they get caught up in AI psychosis. They lose their minds and they're like, this thing loves me. No, it doesn't. You're just insane. You got wrapped up in an AI psychosis vortex because you're a lonely incel. That's why. You go out and date some real women in the real world, for God's sake. But don't get caught up, you know, getting sucked into the machine world. Instead, use the machines to augment your world. You stay in charge. You're the one with the goals. You're the one with the vision. You're the child of God. You have consciousness and creativity. Don't enslave yourself into an artificial system. Use the system to help you be the best human that you can be. That's the proper attitude of how to use AI. That's the way I use AI. AI is helping me achieve my life's mission, which is empowering people with knowledge and information and freedom of speech, etc. That's what I use AI for. And I want a weed-pulling robot, as you know. I want to use robots to grow more food. I can't wait. I really can't wait. I'm going to have like a robot agricultural setup, man. Seriously. That's one of my goals. I want to have robots grow tomatoes. Seriously. Why not? Why wouldn't you want a robot to grow your homegrown food? It's going to be the healthiest food you can imagine. If a robot can help you do that, why not? Because who's got time to garden right now with so much happening in the world? You know, who's got time to garden? Wouldn't you like to have a gardening assistant that is like always going to show up for work and not give you any flack? So anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams. If you want to use our AI engine, which is trained on the world's best database or knowledge set of nutrition, natural health, off-grid living, survival, etc., that's called Enoch. It's at brighteon.ai. And it's free to use, completely free. You can use it right now at brighteon.ai. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams, and you can follow me at brighteon.com or naturalnews.com. Take care.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.